walking through a series on discipleship, talking about what it is, what it's not, what it looks like. In the last few weeks, in particular, we have been talking mostly about family discipleship. So we're talking about how dad and mom can do this thing called discipleship when you have so many things, other things that you need to be doing with your kids and with work and with school and so on and so forth. One of the first things that we looked at was the fact that you are discipling your children in something. They are learning something from you. And most importantly, they are learning what is most important from your heart, or what is most important in your heart, which is why it becomes so important to be very intentional about discipling our children and the people around us in our faith. We've been studying out of Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we've seen three rings moving from the center going out. We've told you several times that the center is the most important part of that. That is you, Dad. That is you, Mom. That is me. And it is about our faith and our love for the Lord, that we love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. Then it moves to the family. That's the second level, the second circle, if you will. And what we have seen is that the Bible basically is saying, as you are living life, that's how you're going to teach these people. Here we go, guys. I had a little bit yesterday, a little bit too much with the TV on, and having a little bit of problem this morning, so I think I can get through this, so we're going to give it my best shot here, but I may have hit one or two little walls as we go here, so let's go. Basically, what the Bible is not telling us to do is it's not telling us to add 20 more things to our life. It is telling us to teach as we go along, as we live life. That's what we're doing. So last week, we looked at how we need to be intentional. Last week we looked at how we're supposed to be very intentional about what we do. There does need to be some times in our life, there we go, where we are opening up God's Word and we are intentionally talking about that and how it applies to our lives. Now this time also we talked about four different things about it. We said that it should be consistent, which doesn't mean that it needs to necessarily be Tuesday at 6 p.m., but it needs to be regular throughout our entire lives, which is what we were talking about with showing that we love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength at all of these different times. Second thing is it needs to have clarity. We need to be talking to kids about in a manner in which they can understand what's going on. Also needs to be creative. We need to make that time joyful. Build the little fortress in your living room and talk about how God is our refuge and our strength. Build up the wall of Jericho and help your kids knock it back down and have some fun with those stories. Make it creative as you're talking with your kids. The last thing we talked about was counsel. And we talked that what we would like to do as a church is we would like to make up a little sheet of questions for you as parents to be able to take and just in the car while you're leaving the church, going to grandma's house, wherever, you can ask them some questions about what happened in children's church. What did they learn? So that you can be helping them and you will look like the most amazing parent ever because you know what took place there and you weren't even there. Okay? Today we're going to be talking about moments. And moments are simply capturing those teachable moments in the course of the day or everyday life. This is what Deuteronomy has been talking about. As you lie down, as you go, as you do all these different things, point your kids toward Christ. The master of teachable moments would definitely be Jesus Christ. Think about Luke chapter 21. Jesus is in the temple, and he has been sitting there watching people. Anybody like doing that? Just looking at people? I love doing that because you can know so much stuff about people. Anyway, Jesus is watching these people, and he sees all these people, the rich folks coming in, and they're putting all this money into the collection plate thing in the temple. And then comes this widow, and she brings two small little copper coins, and she drops them in. Then he turns to his disciples and he says, this widow has put in more than all the rest because she gave out of what she didn't have. Jesus is using an everyday, ordinary event to teach a lesson about the heart that God desires in us as we give. Now, how many of you have multiple children? How many of you have ever had those multiple children this month, this week, this morning, okay, wind up arguing or fighting with each other? Anybody? Okay? Yeah. Okay? Most of us know that the disciples, they were guys who liked to argue about who's going to be the greatest one in the kingdom. So James and John are kind of cranking this up a notch, and they come to Jesus and they say, you know what, Jesus, we want to be the ones to sit at your right hand and your left hand. Okay? Think about how arrogant they had to be to ask that question. Jesus, we realize that you're going to be the king, and we want to be the guys on your right and your left. And I would imagine that James and John probably argued over which one is going to be on the right and which one is going to be on the left. But anyway, they come to Jesus, they ask this question. All the rest of the disciples, when they find out about this, they flip out. They go, are you kidding me? I can't believe you would ask Jesus that question. And so Jesus uses this as a teachable moment, and he says, the Gentiles lord their authority over other people, not you guys. If you want to be great, serve. There you go. Hate that. Jesus was basically the best person you can possibly get at how to teach and use those particular moments. Now, if you're thinking that that's a little unfair, you're going, wait a second here. Jesus is a master at that stuff, and I'm not that great at that. Then, here's what I want to remind you of. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. And he's living in you to conform you to being more like Christ. So take your Bible, learn what Christ did, learn how he operated, and then you can even learn how to be doing things like this as well. So, this morning as we talk about moments, there's three things we're going to talk about. Being observant, being prepared, and being genuine. If you are single here or you have no kids, please don't check out. You can still learn from these things because you can apply them to other people as well. It is a skill set that all of us can learn about being observant, being prepared, and being genuine. So we're going to start with being observant. If you're a parent here, you probably have already have these skills. It doesn't take you very long as a parent to figure out the position of all of your kids, the disposition of all of your kids. And I'm going to use, I didn't tell them I'm going to do this, but I'm going to use the Kite family as a illustration here. No doubt dad and mom figured out an awful lot about Eileen when she first came along. So she's there for a little while, so on and so forth. Then you get Sean, and Sean pops into the family too. And so now they start seeing even more as to how they relate to each other. They have a whole bigger family, all that kind of stuff. And then you get Denise coming along, and now you got three of them, and it changes the dynamics of the family and how they all relate to each other. One kid maybe doesn't want to upset mom and dad, so they obey real easily. One kid may be the leader of the pack. One kid tries to get away with absolutely whatever they possibly can. Okay. The point is this, that dad and mom are observing all of these things along the way, and they are learning how to relate to each child because of what they see in that kid. They are being observant over those things. So you already have the skills of being observant, but this helps us to know how to engage our kids. So under this, there is a key to parenting well, and it's this. Love the child that you have, not the child that you wanted. Okay? A lot of people wanted an athlete, and they got a bookworm. Love the child you have, not the child that you wanted. Because there's too many people who they disengage from that child and they don't really show that affection to that child the way they should. What do you need to do to be observing or paying attention in your kids' lives? Well, the first thing would be sensitivity levels. Okay, I've talked to parents in this church where they said, hey, we're going to put a movie on the up there, and it has kind of people who are going to be, well, basically it was a scene from The Passion of the Christ, and it had Christ, and he was going to be getting whipped, and so on and so forth, and their child was rather sensitive, and we knew that that was going to happen. So we talked to the parents in advance to make sure of that. When I was a child, I was a sensitive kid. There was a miniseries on TV when I was a kid. It was about World War II and the Holocaust and that kind of thing. There was a scene in the movie where they took a Jewish man into another room and they whipped him. And you couldn't see what was taking place, but you could hear the whip and you could hear him screaming. And I had nightmares for weeks after seeing that. We even watched a movie in the church, and the family got in the car, dad, mom, the kids, and the family dog all got in the car, and they got into an accident in this movie. They didn't really show much about the accident, but I didn't care at all about mom, dad, and the kids. I was crying on my father's shoulder, wondering what happened to the dog. Okay? Because I was a sensitive kid. If you're going to take advantage of those moments, you need to know about sensitivity levels in your children. You also need to pay attention to their relationship with other people. Everybody has relationship. They have relationship issues. They've got drama taking place in relationships. 45 years old, and I still have relational drama that takes place. When you put one sinner and a second sinner into a relationship with each other, you're going to wind up with relational drama. So we need to watch how our kids relate to each other. You're also going to need to pay attention to how they relate to themselves. If they are a perfectionist, you kind of need to know that, because if you treat a perfectionist as if they don't have motivation, you're only going to make their life worse. It's going to be hard on that particular kid. You need to know how your child relates to themselves. And for those without kids, all of this fits, even in the context of the Christian life. We are observant when we see people kind of drifting from Christ. And I swear to you that people oftentimes think that I'm crazy when I say that someone is drifting away from Christ, and they go, oh, no, that's not what's going on. We've got to train ourselves to be observant, even for our brothers and sisters in Christ, not just for the kids. The second thing is being prepared. If the goal is to observe like Jesus did, he observed and then he engaged with purpose. We have to be prepared for that. How do we prepare? We have to know a couple of things. We have to know some things about attributes of God. Who is God? What is he like? Well, God is wise. He is generous, loving, good, unchanging, creator, holy, just, faithful, provider, merciful, attentive, sovereign, almighty, compassionate, glorious, worthy, refuge, and deliverer, just to name a few. And if you want all of that in an easy format, that's that book that we were telling, said that we have. Knowing even a few of the attributes of God can help you when your kids face various issues. Anxiety. God is good. God is our refuge. He is the one that we run back to. When you're fearful, God is in control. God is sovereign. He is in charge. When they come face to face with their own sin, what? God is merciful. God is compassionate. When you know what God is like, you can observe and then apply God's attributes to those situations in your child's life. What you are doing is helping to produce godly character and shaping that character by the gospel in your child. The third thing is being genuine. And being genuine, especially for parents, you cannot seek to control kids by using the Bible and religion, basically, to beat them up. Okay? God never said control your kids. God said train your children. There's a big difference. And it's a dangerous thing to use the Bible as a club for anyone. Beating people in line is not the goal. Heart change is the goal. Love for God is the goal. A heart that is captured in love by Christ has no problems conforming to God's standards revealed in the Bible. No matter how... no matter how you have kids who are going through this, what your kids should know is that you know them and that you love them. And this is true for our brothers and sisters in Christ as well. When a person understands that they are known and that they are loved, there's a genuine relationship there. And when someone needs to discipline or to call on someone or call someone out on things, most of the time it will make a relationship stronger because of your love for that person. So let me do this. Got a phone call from a person in the church one time asking all kinds of questions about life, ministry, and how things were going. The questions were challenging, and the majority of what was discussed kind of caused me to evaluate things in life and ministry and see what might need to be changed. And quite frankly, I didn't really want to hear what they had to say. But in the end, because I knew that they knew me, because I knew that they cared for me, I didn't just throw the phone down and say, I'm never talking to these people again. Because there were some things in that conversation that I didn't agree with them on. But if there was not a genuineness about our relationship, that conversation would not have ever happened. They would not have felt the compulsion to have that conversation in the first place, nor would the relationship remain intact to this day. So if your kids or your brothers and sisters in Christ know that they are known, that they are cared for, if they don't know those things, finding moments to say what really needs to be said is going to be virtually impossible. They need to know that they are loved, they need to know that they are cared for, and that they are known. A man by the name of Paul David Tripp has a quote, and I'm going to condense it. This is what he said. In his wisdom, God has crafted a life for us that does not careen from huge consequential moment to huge consequential moment. In fact, if you examine your life, you will see that you have actually had few of those moments. You can probably name only two or three life-changing situations you have lived through. We are all the same. The character and quality of our life is forged in little minutes or moments. We tend to back away from the significance of these little moments because they are little moments. You see, opposite is actually true. Little moments are significant because they are the little moments. These are the moments that make up our lives, that set up our future and shape our relationships. It is the little moments that forge so much of who we are. I can look at that with the kids in the youth group and tell you little moments that they've had, which were stupid moments, weird moments, fun moments, serious moments that help forge the relationship and that help forge their character. So when you look at life, it is the small moments of life that forge your character. It is what's forged in those small moments that actually comes out in the big moments. So let me give you an illustration to help you kind of put this all together. And we're going to do it using the TV show Full House. Okay? Most of us grew up with Full House, thanks to TV Land and other TV shows or channels like that, we get to watch it all the time. A lot of us love our little Tanner family. But what happened in almost every single show was they had the setup, they had the crisis, and then they would have the resolution. So the crisis often was some problem that related to life and in some way would help the character develop as a person. They would fall into some problem, mishandle some situation, and then have to come to grips with the problem and either ask for help or ask for forgiveness. Full House, they built their entire show around just basically a series of small moments. And those moments help to teach the characters something. And this is what we're talking about for all of us, dads, moms, all of us, using those small moments to teach your children about Christ and about the gospel. Those moments where maybe you need to apologize to your kids, use that moment to point them to the gospel. That, you know what, even dads and moms need forgiveness, and isn't it wonderful that God is always there to forgive us, to pick us back up and to help move us in the right direction. Dads and moms are not perfect, and that's okay because the gospel doesn't require perfection. It only requires a humble heart to ask for forgiveness when needed. So for dads and moms, use those moments to point your kids toward Christ, to point them toward the character of God, to help instill in them godliness. The point of this whole sermon is those moments for, we are to use those moments for God's glory, for the furtherance of godliness in those that we love, and that God has given you influence over. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for taking even these messed up and jumbled words sometimes and using them for your glory. We're going to trust that you're going to do that. In Jesus' name.
We stand for a closing song.
Yeah.